Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Back to ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'm glad you're here. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. If you just tuned in, thanks for doing that. If you've been listening already, thank you for that. Especially, you're going to be glad you hung out with me because I got an old friend back with us. Daniel Carer is with us. Daniel is the founder and the CEO of BizBest Media Corp. He's editor and director of content development at business.com. And he's like a small business expert here, folks. And he's joining us now to talk to us about some of the things he's working on for you and for me. Daniel, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Glad to be here. Always nice to be on the show.
It's good to have you back. What are you working on these days? What are some of the things that you're seeing out there, Dan, from a small business standpoint? What are some of the issues? I mean, it's a target-rich environment, I know, but what are some of the things that are really popping up high on your radar?
Yeah, sure. You're definitely a target-rich environment, I must say. I mean, there's some real hot buttons that are going on right now. Certainly, interesting study came out yesterday about credit card use by small business. It's even as the terms are just, they're getting hammered on terms, small business owners are having to use their cards a lot more often now to finance their own businesses.
I'm a little worried about that, though, Dan, because even though they're having to do that, a lot of credit card companies, the government is wringing their hands over the fees and the interest rates that cards companies are charging their users. But I'm more worried about how much the credit card companies have arbitrarily cut the credit lines of small business owners.
That's absolutely right. That's one of the things that this survey has found out, that even though business owners are having to use it, especially people still in the startup stage, they just aren't able to get the financing anywhere else.
Forget it. Dan, I hate being negative about startups because I really want them to. We need startups, but I'll tell you, I'm really concerned. Startups are not going to play a part in the recovery of this economy the way it has in past recoveries. Because of access to capital.
You're right. I mean, they traditionally they have, and this time startups, there's a lot of people want to start businesses. Their hands are
well. They must start a small business. And 20 years ago this month, Dan, I got downsized for the second time in 18 months, and I had to start a small business, and I did.
Yeah, those are the.
But I did it because I had some credit card. I had some credit card lines. Right. I had some home equity. I was undercapitalized clearly, but I had some access to a little bit of capital, as little as it was. But I'm concerned about this thing. And if, in my opinion, if the government really wanted to help startups, they'd quit complaining about the fees and they'd start talking to them about not cutting their lines.
Well, they would, and I think that's part of what the purpose behind doing this survey was to kick some butt, to get something to happen here. I mean, look at it. Just in the last 6 months, one in every three business owners that got surveyed had their limits lowered. This year.
And guess what? That's been going on since the first quarter of 2008.
Yeah. And
started in the first quarter of 2008.
Yeah.
No, that's right. And so, but what's interesting about the credit thing, Dan, is I talk to independent community banks all across the country, and they tell me that they're standing by ready to loan money to small businesses. And I mean, not willy-nilly, not just come in and ask for it and get it. You got to justify it, and you've always had to do that. But they're standing by ready to do that, and they're telling me that there's no demand, that small business owners are not demanding loans. The other surveys that we're seeing show that to be true too. That they're not spending on capital equipment, et cetera, et cetera.
But part of that is a self-fulfilling prophecy because everybody reads in the media there's no credit available. Well, if you read in the media and there's no credit available, you're not going to go out and look for it because you think it's futile, right? So I think that certainly has something to do with it. You know, there are also some of these kind of hidden programs that you know, funnel government along with private money, like the Community Development Financial Institutions, CDFIs. I wrote about them in What Works for Business a little bit. And, you know, they had programs slashed under the Bush administration. Now they're looking at, you know, doubling, tripling, quadrupling, you know, the amount of funding flowing through those. Those tend to, you know, reach, you know, kind of underserved communities. There's a lot of micro money that's available through those programs right now. And
you know, what was the guy's name? I'm trying, Mohammed, what's his name? The Grameen Bank guy? For some reason, I've lost his name. He won a Nobel Prize for making
third
world.
Yeah.
I'll say his name in a minute. But anyway, you know, we could use a little of that Grameen money, I think, in the United States right now for startups.
Yeah, we absolutely could. But you know, there are some sources if you look around on the micro side. And of course, you know, traditionally the biggest source ever is family and friends. Of course,
family and
friends are hurting too. So.
And maybe some angel investing. Well, when we come back,
hold on to that thought.
I'm going to let you talk about angel. Yeah, I want to come back to that because this is an important topic for these times, ladies and gentlemen. Daniel Carrer is our guest. He's one of the key guys over there at business.com. If you check that out, quick break, 25th. There's Ann and Nancy, the Wilson sisters, bringing us back. Little Heart. Great group. Welcome back, 17 Till. I'm Jim Blessingame, small business advocate, and I'm glad you're here. My website is smallbusinessadvocate.com, and I hope you check it out and use it to your advantage. We built it just for you. We've got lots of stuff there that will help you with your business. You can read, you can watch. I mean, you can listen, you can ask questions, and you got 5 seconds, you got 1 minute, you got 3 minutes or 15 minutes. We got something that will help you there. And, of course, everything we do here every day on the radio show is available within minutes after we go off the air. So check that out, too. And, of course, you can subscribe to my newsletter. You can check out my blog there and all the other things. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at Jim Blessingame. Daniel Carrer is our guest, folks. He's with business.com, and we're talking about business financing and business access to capital. Dan, your website is business.com, right? It's pretty simple.
Yeah, business.com. Also, whatworksforbusiness.com.
Whatworksforbusiness.com. What's the difference?
Well, business.com, that's the main site. That's the big, 800-pound gorilla. That's, you know, we got 8 million people coming through there. What Works for Business is a new publication. It's basically a blog where we talk about, all the cool new stuff that's happening in the small business world, new products, services, solutions, all that kind of stuff on a daily basis.
Right. So check that out, folks. Dan, we were talking about angels when we went to the break. Tell the audience what an angel investor is.
Well, these are private investors, and you have to understand they're very, very different than venture capitalists. I think the two are confused too often. These are people often...
an angel investor actually has a heart inside their body.
Yeah.
And when they look at you, you don't think you're looking at a fish.
Many times they've been successful entrepreneurs themselves, and they are, you know, they understand how it works, and they want to back other entrepreneurs and make money at the same time. But the big thing that's really happened recently, relatively recently with angels, is that they've started to get together in groups. So now there are angel groups. So, I've been writing about that a lot because I think it has made them more accessible and more findable, because now there is an organization of angel groups, and you can actually find them online. What their criteria are, it's tremendously.
That probably needs to be filled, a more jaundiced eye look at a business, but also with some humanity. Maybe. What do you think?
Well, I think so. You know, venture people, they develop funds. They bring in outside money and develop these venture funds, and then they invest via the fund, and they're the venture capitalists are sometimes investing other people's money. You know, angels are investing their own money, and even though they get together in groups, they're still investing their own money. But they've just become a little bit more organized about it, and it's a little more fun for them, I think, when they get together and they have dinners and they screen potential investors who come in and do their dog and pony show.
So an angel investor is somebody that could be somebody you know in town who's done well, who might rather put their money in your company than in the stock market.
It's a loose term.
Or it could be these funds like you're talking about. So there are multiple layers of these folks.
They are. I mean, you can call anybody who gives you money to invest in your business, you can call them an angel, right? But there are people who do.
They are, exactly.
There's people who do it on an ongoing basis for strangers, basically. And these are the ones that have organized into angel groups. There's this group called the Angel Capital Education Foundation. It's a nonprofit. It's angelcapitaleducation.org. Mm-hmm. Great website. It tells you all about angels.
Some communities are putting together angel consortiums in either a region, maybe in a county, couple of county market area,
or maybe even
in a region like across half of the northern half of a state or something like that.
Yep, absolutely right. And the reason they're doing it is they recognize that that helps their economy. I mean,
that's how they've got to grow their economy. They quit looking for the big plants, haven't they?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, they'd much rather have these folks backing local businesses and growing those, adding employees. You know, you can start 10, 12, 15, 20 businesses, each with a couple of employees. That's big. That's a big deal for a lot of these areas.
Right.
So,
absolutely.
Yeah, great area.
So,
I think it's terrific.
So, but you still, regardless of whether you are seeking a private investor or a venture consortium, or venture capitalists, or even your banker, you still have to have your cornflakes together when you bring your proposal to them, don't you?
You bet you do. And I know your site does a tremendous amount to help people do that, to figure out, I've got to have the financials, I've got to have the business plan, and you know what? You've got to have the elevator pitch. That's
right.
Absolutely critical. I was at an entrepreneurs conference over at UCLA last Friday, and it's amazing how many folks, think they've got their cornflakes, as you say, lined up, but they can't really even, concisely tell you what their business plan is. But you've got to be able to do that. It's got to be, in 60
if
seconds.
If you can't say, if you're not so excited and succinct, you got to be excited and succinct at the same time. You got to net it out, and you got to make it pop within seconds, don't you?
That's right. And
you got to be able to come up with that.
Yeah, and angels and VC people and all that, they'd rather, hear that than actually see a button-down business plan.
Because they don't have time. I mean, they're going to look at thousands of business plans and maybe only fund 20 or 30 or 8 or 10 this year.
Yeah, it's the people behind it that really makes the difference. So, if and obviously you're one of them. If you're the entrepreneur and you're making that pitch, they're looking at you, as well as the idea. They're investing in you.
Well said. Hey, Dan, hold on to that thought. Business.com is one of the websites. And what's the other one again, Dan?
What Works for Business.
What Works for Business. It's a blog, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so check it out. Quick break, right back with Dan Carer. I'm Jim Blassingame. I'm with you. Carlos Santana bringing us back. One of the best sounds that man put out. One of the best sounds of anywhere in rock. Welcome back, 7 Till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Daniel Carer is our guest. Dan is a good friend of ours and a member of our Brain Trust. He is a director and editor of content development, I should say, at business.com. And What Works for Business.com as well, right? The other one?
Yeah, that's right, Jim.
Yep. So check those out, folks. And are you on Twitter, Dan?
Yes, you are. I am. Yes, indeed. You can. I think it's at What Works, actually.
At What Works. Okay, that's Dan, and you can find me at Jim Blassingame. So check that out. Dan, this week the post office gave us a little gift. They raised our the price for postage. Another
penny. Yeah, it's nice of
them. What is it, 44 cents now?
Yeah, 44, but you know, that's just a first class thing. There's so many different classes of mail now, especially if you're a business user. Postcards went up, and just about everything is going up a little bit. And yeah, the thing is now, this is an annual thing now. It used to be the Postal Service had to go to the government with a case, and they had to present, and they had to be allowed to do this. Now it's automatic. I mean, every year they get to raise their rates. It happens in the spring, so pretty much this time of year, every year, you can count on a postal increase. But the thing is, there's lots you can do.
Dan, let me stop for a second. I've got a small business. And there was a time when we bought stamps in the books and the rolls,
right?
And I distribute, you know, content to thousands and tens of thousands and in some, you know, through the show, you know, hundreds of thousands of people every day and every week.
Mm-hmm.
And when this postage thing went up this week, it was a non-event around my office.
Oh yeah, for sure. Well,
I mean, we almost. If the post office closed up, it wouldn't actually kill me. I wouldn't like it. I would miss them. We like our postmen.
Hey, look, I work for an internet company. Nobody here even knows the Postal Service exists. I mean, we have a mail room here. We've got 120 people here. We have a mail room. Nobody even knows where it is or goes in.
Yeah.
You know, if you get a piece of mail, it's like it's a celebration. It's like, wow.
And so, which is a self-fulfilling prophecy for their increases, isn't it?
Well, it is. And you know what? The Postal Service lost $1.7 billion in the first quarter of the year. So, you know, you got to know they're hurting.
They're talking about cutting back on Saturday delivery, maybe going to 4-day a week. I'll be honest with you. Even when we get paid by our customers, more and more, we get bank transfers.
We do.
What they call the FTS, FTCs?
But you know what? In spite of all that, Jim, there still are millions of businesses that use, you know, the mail on a regular basis. They send statements, they send mailers, they send postcards, they send marketing pieces. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, they went to a different system not that long. It was actually 2 years ago, but a lot of people don't even know about it yet. And rather than weight-based, it's shape-based. So that... Mm-hmm. You know, now you can often send. The way to save money is you pile it up. I mean, you put more into a letter size envelope, and it's much cheaper than if you send it in a big flat. Basically, you can send it for the same weight. It's like way less money if you do it that way.
Say that again. So, if I want to send cards to people, I would do what now?
Well, if you're you know, here's the way you waste money. If you send, you know, like two or three or four sheets in a large size envelope, you don't fold them. That costs like three times as much. If you fold those
things up
and you put it in a small envelope, the Postal Service lets you send it cheaper. That's because they like that shape, even though it's the same weight. Mm-hmm. So they went to the shape-based pricing. So it's all
so
about
it's,
the
it's
shape.
Capacity, not or is it?
It's not necessarily weight. You know, we were all conditioned for decades to think about weight. Now it's shape, and so you got
to
watch.
If you ship feathers to China or steel to China, it's often the same freight because it's about capacity, about cubic footage, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. And the same kind of concept applies with the Postal Service now. So there are many more interesting ways to save on mailings now than there used to be because
How do we find out how to do that? If we got people out there who are trying to maximize their postage, if they're doing a lot of mailing, catalogs and things like that, a lot of people are still doing that. Is there a place they can go to maximize this?
Yeah, who's got the absolute best rundown, and they have a 25-page thing. It's Pitney Bowes. You go to go to pb.com and find your way to you look under the rate increases, and they will. And there's a little button on their website that has a PDF form. It's free. You just click on it. You can read it or download it.
We got friends over there. I don't know why I didn't think of those guys. Thank you for bringing them.
They're great. Yeah, they have,
hey Dan, give us that website one more time. I want to make sure people know about you.
WhatWorksForBusiness.com.
And all right, so check that out.
.com.
And then business.com. Hey, Dan, thanks for being here. Will you come back another day real soon?
Anytime, Jim, anytime.
You always have good stuff for us. Thanks, Dan. See you next time.
All right, thank you. Bye.
Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. I've had a great time today. I hope you have. Before I go, I want to remind you to always seek excellence. Not perfection. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.